We were in the book of John over Easter, and we're going to continue that looking at John, what happened the week after Easter. That story doesn't just stop. So I'm going to read for you from John chapter 20, reading from verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sin, their sins are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe and that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you, that by believing, you may have life in his name. Let's pray that God will help us understand what's going on here. Dear Father God, some of us feel a bit like Thomas this morning with questions, with doubts. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to have certainty and have confidence that you are truly Lord. And for others here, Lord, this is an old story we've heard hundreds of times. Lord, speak to us this morning, that we too may have confidence in what we believe, that you are truly Lord, and show us what that means. Amen. Last week I had a bit of time and I was looking, just scrolling through a bit of news on the phone and come up with a few new inventions. It's amazing how culture is moving, how society is moving. The Swiss police have had a few problems with their guard dogs, their drug sniffer dogs, so they're now training chickens. If you're a fan of chickens, you're going to love this. They put a strap on them, say they're police, and they go around, you know, the airports, and they sniff your dogs, sniff your bags and things like that. They're going back to chickens. You know, that's incredible. That's amazing. Something else new that's come up is a new app for your phone. Parents, you're going to love this one. It's a lie detector. You download the app, you get them to speak into it, and through AI and all sorts of things, it's got a scale of whether they think you're lying or telling the truth. How good is that? What is the world coming to with AI, right? They can do anything. One more. A clothing company is working on see-through clothes. Not that you see through. Not like you're not wearing them, but you see through the back, how they can project what's on the back onto the front, so it looks like you're invisible. And I thought, man, I suppose it was only a matter of time before technology and that built up. And then it got me thinking, right? It's like, how good are we advancing as humanity? What if we rolled all three into one? Now that the police got on top of the drug scene by they come up to a house, covered their chook in a little jacket, like the lady's wearing, nobody could see the chook. Send it in, has a sniff around, come back out, and it could tell you whether there's drugs in there or not. Of course, chickens can't talk, but you can put the lie detector up to it and ask it, "Did you find drugs?" And it will tell you if it's lying or not. It's like we're all over this as a culture and a society. Then you get the calm down and go, "Actually, it's the 1st of April, and it's April Fool's Day. And it's like all my hopes and dreams. Raise a question. How do you know when something's true or not? Because you can get swept up with these things. You get carried away with all these stories. They've got pictures. It's in the newspaper. It must be true. That we can get carried away with the possibilities. But then you find out, well, it's all a story anyway. It's sort of believable, but not likely. How do you know whether something is true or not? Because if we're talking about something like drug-sniffing chooks, you kind of go, well, it doesn't really matter. Believe it if you want or not. It doesn't really matter. But what about if it's something like, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? What's he all about? That's something we want to get right. Because that's a bigger question, a more important question. So what do you need to know if something is true, even if it was about Jesus? How do you know that it's true? See, during Easter, we spent time in the Gospel of John, and John is all about displaying evidence. If you see John, there's a theme that's going on that's like a judge in a court case. People give testimonies, shows what people see and touch. There's lots of evidence going on. And they're putting you in the jury. You're in the jury when you're reading John to go, do I believe this or not? Because here's the evidence, or is it likely, unlikely? What do I believe? John is saying in his letter that I'm giving you all the evidence so you can have confidence that you can believe that Jesus is truly Lord. And he does it through a few different ways. This morning we're up to this guy called Thomas. Thomas is someone who had some problems believing. But we get to spend some time in his shoes this morning, because I think maybe there's a bit of Thomas in all of us trying to work out who is Jesus. Is there enough for me to believe that Jesus is truly Lord? So when we get to Thomas, as we read, when all the action was happening, when Jesus rose from the dead, Thomas was missing. On the evening of that first day, that's last Sunday, first day of the week, when Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared before the disciples, showed them his scars. Thomas wasn't there. The other disciples, they all saw it. They were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Now, there's another interesting thing going on in John. Up to this point, Jesus is called a number of different things, often just Jesus. But from now on, now that he's risen from the dead, he's referred to as the Lord. And that is significant. It's not just Jesus, our friend who we saw was killed on a cross, buried, is now alive again. How amazing is that? But because Jesus died, they all saw it. They all were there when he's put in the tomb. He was dead. But now he's alive again. Like, who can do that? Nobody can do that unless they're God. So now when they see him, it's not just they saw Jesus, but he is the Lord. The Lord is someone, we don't use that term much these days, it was a common term back then. It refers to anybody sort of sits above you in the social status, since it's first century Rome. But certainly when it talks about Jesus as the Lord, it's certainly talking about him being the Lord of the universe. He's in the higher status. And if he is Lord, he is somebody you've got to listen to. He's somebody you've got to respect and honor. If he's God of the universe, he's your creator. He gives meaning to life. He gives purpose to life. He is now someone you need to worship because he's Lord. You need to give your life to him. You need to give your life for him. You need to give everything for him to glorify him because he is the Lord of the universe. This is significant. The gospel writers, John here, is saying he is the Lord, the one we all need to bow down and worship and honor and glorify in all we do. This is what the disciples are saying to Thomas. We've seen Jesus. He's the risen Jesus. You can imagine their excitement as they go up and tell him, we've seen him. But then, is the Lord. This is what it means. So Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So you can imagine. He's heard the stories. This goes on to say, so the other disciples went to him, we have seen the Lord. I mean, you can imagine their excitement. Where's Thomas? He missed out on this. Let's go and tell him we've seen the Lord. But you can imagine, this is Now he's missed the boat. He didn't see it. So now there's this other thing about Thomas, also known as Didymus, is also talked about elsewhere in the Gospels as the brother of Jesus. Adds another little twist, doesn't it? This guy who's grown up with Jesus, heard Jesus' stories, heard Jesus' claims that he truly is the Son of God, that he will die and rise again. I'm not sure if your siblings would say things that inflate what they're doing or their status. You go, yeah, right. I'm not sure what Thomas is thinking here, that he's heard it before. It's like, oh, I've heard stories now that he's been raised from the dead. You would think now that he's gone, well, that shouldn't surprise me because he's been saying it all along. Or it shouldn't surprise me because it's my friends, the other disciples who are telling him and they saw it. So I can trust them. I can trust them what they say. But what does Thomas do? Is he going to believe them? Is he going to believe what he's heard? Nah. He said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. I will not believe unless I see it, unless I touch it. He's heard it and tell me about it. And they've told him, but he's going, no, that's not enough. See, when you put yourself into this story, if you were there, would you believe? Is it enough for somebody to tell you Jesus is Lord? Is that enough for you to give your life to honor, to worship? Not just, oh yeah, that's another title for Jesus, but he's truly Lord of your life. What would you need to see or what would you need to hear? Even if your friends told you that they believe, is that enough? See, if you put yourself into the story and you go, well, it's not enough for Thomas, actually doesn't make me feel as bad. Because it doesn't matter who we are. If you're told that you should believe something, it doesn't matter if you're a kid here today or a senior here today or everybody in between. If somebody tells you, you should believe this, it's like, yeah, I believe you believe it, but is that enough for me to believe it? Even if it's a drug-smelling chicken, I don't know, it doesn't really matter. But Jesus is Lord. I want more than that. I just don't want somebody to tell me I should believe. You don't believe everything people tell you. You want more if it's going to affect, change your life forever. And what I love in this story is if you're making this stuff up, wouldn't you go, Jesus rose from the dead, beats death, shows that he is truly Lord. And when he shows himself, everybody believes. The whole world now trusts in Jesus. The whole world finds life in Jesus. And now the whole world's problems fixed forever. It's that happy ever moment, the Disneyland moment. They ride off into the sunset. Everything's all good and rosy now. But that's not how life works, is it? We all have decisions to make. We all have questions. If we're going to sign up for something with our lives, we've got to be convinced. Is this the truth? It's interesting to note that even for the disciples, they got to see Jesus' side and his hands. They got to see the scars and they believe. I think for Thomas, we call him Doubting Thomas, but he didn't get to see that stuff. He's going, well, actually, it's nice that you're telling me, but show me. Show me, because unless I see it, I'm not going to believe. This is big, you calling him Lord. So that's what he does. This is what happens. A week later, this is like the Sunday after Easter. So today is the equivalent. I'm not sure how your week's been in this last week, but it's kind of been a long time since we met together here last week and last Sunday. A lot of things have happened. For Thomas, can you imagine for him? He's heard that Jesus has been raised from the dead and he's had a week to stew about it. What do I think about this? I haven't seen Jesus yet. It's all these stories. He's had a week to sit on this before this event happens. A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them this time. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came in and stood among them and said, peace be with you. That's interesting. Jesus, the other gospel writers makes it particularly clear that he's not a ghost, he's not a spirit, he's very physical. Touch my hands. And he eats with them. He's a physical, but he can go through walls because he's God. Made all that stuff, he can do all that stuff. But then he says to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put your hand into my side. Stop doubting and believe. It's interesting here, isn't it? That you'd think Jesus has appeared to the other disciples and showed them the scars and, hey, come and have a touch. But now he's come in and Thomas has heard all the stories. They've told him the stories. And Jesus, you'd think, be a bit frustrated with Thomas. Come on, Thomas. You're my brother. I told you all this stuff was going to happen. Come on, Thomas. Your friends, the other disciples who you can trust, they told you what they saw. Why haven't you believed? Thomas, you're doubting. And, you know, it's like, what are you thinking? But Jesus doesn't. Jesus welcomes the questions. Jesus wants him to believe, so he engages with him. And what does Thomas need to see before he believes? I want to see the scars. I want to touch them so that I know they're real before I believe. So Jesus invites him in. And at some point for Thomas and for all of us, there needs to be a point where you go, I actually believe this stuff. And for Thomas, once he touched, Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Not, hey, Jesus, it's really you. No, no, he used this word again. My Lord, you are truly God. My God, I believe in you now. I'm going to worship you as my Lord. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to give my life to you. I'm going to give my life for you. I'm going to give everything for you because you're my Lord. You're truly Lord. Because not just believes, but he knows he's truly Lord. See, for many of us, if you've grown up in church and you've just, of course I have a faith, because I believe in Jesus, because I'm here on a Sunday, my family are Christians, they believe in Jesus, we've come along here, I hear it in kids' church, or I hear it in youth, and we hear it up the front, of course, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. Of course I'm a Christian, I'm here, aren't I? But we see from Thomas the honesty of going, there needs to be a point where you need to own that belief. Not just the statement, Jesus is Lord, but is he Lord of your life? The one that you're going to give your life to, the one you're going to worship with all you do, the one that you're going to glorify in all you do. Is he truly Lord of your life? Thomas has the opportunity to see it. He hears about it, he sees it, and comes to the conclusion. It's no more sitting on the fence. Jesus is truly Lord, my God. And he's all in. He's all in. Now, for Thomas, he's had this amazing experience. And Jesus points this out. Because sometimes it needs more than just tell me or show me. It needs to bless me. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus tells him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Wished this, requested this, wouldn't it be cool if we all had a Thomas experience? That one day we could tee Jesus up to come into church one Sunday when we're all here, that he could come up the front with his scars, saying, look, pulls up the shirt, yeah, check this scar out, put your hand there and feel it, that we could do that. It'd be an event, wouldn't it? That's kind of the moment where we'd all go, of course this is true. But even if we believed, even if we did that, you know, if we booked up Jesus ahead enough, because I know he's probably a busy guy, booked him up and go, we're going to have him in church on Sunday. We go, this is too big for our church. We want Brisbane to know this. And we do some promo, we get all Brisbane to see the risen Jesus so that he can show them that he truly is Lord and they can have confidence to believe, put their trust in. You'd have to get something like Suncorp Stadium, wouldn't you? We'd book Suncorp Stadium, do some promo, 50,000 people saying, turn up because Jesus will be there and he's going to show you that he is truly Lord. Imagine the event that would be. We'd have the band out on the stage in the middle singing worship music. We'd turn it into a bit of a service. There'd be a bit of a vibe. Is it going to happen? I'm sure if you've ever been to a football game at Suncorp Stadium before the game, there's this anticipation, there's a bit of hum around the crowd of what's going to happen, is it really going to happen? Then your team runs onto the field and the roar, if you're a Queensland or a Brisbane supporter, the roar is just enormous. And when Jesus walks out onto the field, you could hear that roar. It's really Jesus. We're seeing him. But then as he gets closer to the microphone, then we start to go, we want to know what he's going to say. How's he going to show everybody that he's truly Lord? What's he going to do? What's he going to do to convince everybody to prove that he is truly Lord? And he stands up to the microphone. You could hear, you can't hear anything, 50,000 people. What's he going to say? He just holds up a book. It's the Bible. And he says, it's all written in the book. Read it. It's about me. Read it. It's what you need to know that I'm truly Lord. And walks off the stage. It's all written in the book. What we need to believe. This is what John says, because John was with him, he was with a disciple, saw everything Jesus did, heard everything Jesus did, didn't always understand at first go, but after the resurrection, it all made sense. And this is what John says. This is the following verse. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And that by believing, you may have life in his name. John's going, there's lots of stuff there. But I've written the stuff that I could fit it onto my papyrus to send around to circulate so others might know and have confidence that what is written in here is true. You can believe what's in there. At the end of the next chapter, it's only one more chapter in John, we'll look at that next week, but he says this. This is the disciple who testifies, that's like the court hearing type language, I've testifies these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. It's like, there's way more to the story. It wasn't just a storybook about the adventures of Jesus. He did this, then he did this, and he did this. No, no. John's like, I had to colour back to show you just what's the important evidence to show you that Jesus is truly Lord. See, at some point, for all of us, we need to go, hey, am I really believing this for myself? Or am I just sort of here being swept along with the crowd? Because if I believe that Jesus is Lord, that he truly did rise from the dead, he truly did take my sins, that I truly have life in his name, a relationship with God, then I need to start worshipping him as Lord. I need to start glorifying him as Lord. This is what we do at church here on a Sunday, when we gather, when everybody's serving each other, when everybody's pointing each other to Jesus. It's because Jesus is Lord. On a regular Sunday, when a third of our church or half of our church leave to go into kids' church, because the kids' church teachers give up their time because Jesus is Lord. There are better things to do on a Sunday morning, but if Jesus is Lord, I'm going to honour him, worship him, and tell others about him. Show them from the scriptures that say work hard at understanding the Bible. Same with youth. Why do the youth leaders get together on a Friday night to hang out with the kids? Because Jesus is Lord. Why does everybody else here serve the way they do? It's because Jesus is Lord. It's worth giving my life to. It's worth giving my time to because Jesus is Lord. It's worth giving my money to because Jesus is Lord. It's worth giving my all to because Jesus is Lord. If you don't get the Jesus is Lord bit, keep looking, keep asking. Tell me, like Thomas, show me, point it to me, and bless me. We want to be a blessing to others to show that Jesus is truly Lord. It can change your life, give you true life, because Jesus is truly Lord. As I mentioned before, there's Alpha Course coming up after Easter. That is a great place to get some of those foundations right about asking your questions. Is this believable? Go to the Bible. Let the Holy Spirit talk to us. Pray to God to ask us to reveal himself. We might not get a literal Jesus showing you his scars, but we'll get the Holy Spirit opening our heart and our eyes to see that he's truly Lord. That's our prayer. It's our prayer for you. Let's pray together now that we might see, not just see the risen Jesus, but understand what that means that he's truly Lord. Let's pray. Dear Father God, just thank you for the way you work in ordinary lives. And we see that through someone like Thomas and the disciples. We thank you that you are patient, that you welcome questions, and you do it in our time. But Lord, we pray to you that in times where we've got questions, where we're not sure, Lord, to acknowledge that you are Lord and to worship you and glorify you in all that we do, that's a big ask. So we need to be persuaded and convinced. So we commit ourselves to you to go on that journey, that your Spirit would be working in us, to tell us, show us, bless us, Lord, that we might see you and know you as truly Lord and Savior of our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.